went through the grist mill with the media.
The gauntlet.
The gauntlet. You all right?
I'm okay.
You need a moment or anything?
I'm going to just have a glass of water and see where all the bullet holes are.
Holy cow. Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, joins us. I should let you know, Pat Steinberg is disembodied, but in this conversation.
So okay.
Say hello to Pat.
Good to see you, Pat.
Hey, you too, Brad.
Yeah.
We are a week away from the National Hockey League's first round of the draft in Dallas, of which you do not have a pick. Are you going to have a pick in a week?
Been asked that a lot lately. Would we like to have a picture? The reality is it's expensive to get into the first round of the draft, mm-hmm. and for a reason. So I know a lot's been made of it, and I get it. The two things I would say, Rob, is obviously, you know, we're not waking up today and realizing for the first time that we don't have a first round pick. This is all the process you go through a year ago when you're
sure.
doing the deal that we did, and to go and just say, okay, we're going to go get a pick. The cost is right now it's a really good young player that's on your roster. And we can all connect the dots to those names. And to move somebody like that just to go up and pick a player that's, you hope and pray that they're going to turn out to be to the level that the guys that you have right now,
mm-hmm.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So probably a long-winded answer of saying if there's something that makes sense to add a pick in the first round or manufacture picks, in the second or third, it's certainly something we're looking at, but we're not making a deal just to announce a name on Friday night if it doesn't make any sense.
This might be an odd way of asking a question that you're asked every mm-hmm. year about the caliber and the quality and the depth of a draft, but if this was, say, the 2003 draft all mm-hmm. over again, would you be more inclined to move heaven and earth to get back in sort of thing?
Well, let me say there's, the way we do our lists, we've got sort of pockets of players and, there's certain areas that we would like to try to get into. Having said that, there's a lot of pain that teams go through to have those top players. As you get deeper into the, some of it's you got to see how it flows and if the price makes sense and there's a guy that's maybe there that you didn't think was going to be. I think this draft right now, there's some real good players in it. Does it probably have the depth maybe as some recent drafts? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always very cautious to start grading drafts a week before they've happened.
Yep.
I think you need there's going to be players from every round that play out of this draft. There's going to be, as I said earlier today, there's going to be players that aren't drafted that should have been and go on to have good careers. Our job's to find, the players that are there with the picks we have. If we can, like I said, if we can find a way to wrestle up a couple other ones, we'll like it. And we'll just monitor it. If there's something that we can get done and there's a player sitting there that we like and a deal makes sense, we'll try to do it. But I wouldn't be holding our breaths right now.
You just alluded to it a minute ago that none of this isn't surprising.
Yeah,
you've known about this for almost a year now.
Sure.
How did that change the work that you and your staff did this year for the draft?
Yeah, it didn't. And I know that, people say, well, you didn't have these picks. The job of the scouting staff is to prepare. You don't know where you're going to pick during the year, and you have to be preparing for every scenario.
Yeah.
So we can't go into Dallas on Friday night and something happened and say, oh, geez, we probably should have done a little more homework. The process to prepare has been like it has been every other year. The workload, the job the scouts do, the work to put your board together, all the background intelligence, all the work's been done. The one thing, and I mentioned it while you were there today, Rob, was if there has been anything that's different, it's probably right around this time when you know where you're picking and you're kind of, if nothing else changes, you're probably focused in on mm-hmm. a group of players or mm-hmm. two or three guys that you think you've sort of done your intelligence, that you think you have an idea that way things could flow. Obviously that piece is different for us. We're not sitting here with pick number so-and-so and focused in on it. We're having lots of communications with teams. We've got our board set in terms of the groupings and guys that we like here, and we'll see where it goes. But I don't want anybody, you know, glued to the information right now thinking we're, you know, that's inevitable we're going to get a pick. It's hard to get in the first round. And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Brad Treliving, General Manager of the Calgary Flames, our guest here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Pat?
Brad, sure does seem like the first-round picks are maybe a little easier to come by when you're in season around the trade deadline. But once you get to this time, once you get to the draft city, it seems like they're held on to a whole lot tighter. I think I know the reason, but how come they're that much more expensive once you get to the draft floor?
Well, the answer is you're absolutely correct. You know, in season, you get to a deadline, you know... As a team, you know exactly where you're sitting, and you think that, you know, for this piece or that piece that could be the difference in you going on a long playoff run or a final piece to what you think complete your roster. So there's, you know, sometimes there's that, I wouldn't say an easier, you're letting go of them easier, but you see them move a lot more there.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I always say to it, the closer you get to the draft, those picks aren't numbers, they're names. And, you know, so everybody's sort of done their work now. So if you're picking 10 and you know that you're of your top 10, you're getting one of them. And if something changes, you're getting one of your top 9 and so on and so forth. So there becomes, you know, you there's a face, there's a name, there's a background, there's a history. That, you know, that pick now has a personality versus just a number when you're sitting there in the middle of February. So I think... You know, and those the value of all those picks become, you know, they're more crucial and they're more valuable the closer you get to the draft, and that's why you see, you know, they're harder to come by the closer you get to draft when you're a year out or when you're in the middle of the season or at a deadline, and you're able to maybe get the return on that pick right there for the rest of that season. This time of year, it's more difficult to pry those away.
Three straight years, you've made fairly significant splashes at a draft, whether it be the Dougie Hamilton acquisition last year, Travis Hamonic, Brian Elliott a couple of years ago. Is that just a product of this is when it's kind of turned into the best time across the league to reshape your franchise or make significant moves for your organization?
Yeah, it really is. I think, Pat, I'm a believer that you build your team in the summer, and that may be that takes the whole summer. You know, you're not done draft week. You know, you've got everybody there and there's lots of conversations and everybody's trying to get as much done as they can there. And so it's a busy time. I think, and I said this maybe going back a couple of years, it just is. And I think, again, it really starts as a function, the financial function of living in a cap system now for some period of time, that years ago, the deadline was really a busy time. There'll always be deals at the deadline, but draft week, draft weekend, draft, you know, that time during draft, between draft and free agency is to me, that's now the real busiest. That's the busy time in the calendar. You've got expiring contract, and a lot of it, I think, is driven from financial. You've got a better understanding of your financial structure. You know, teams have expiring contracts. It's when the bulk of, I wouldn't say the bulk, but that's where I think you see a lot of the bigger deals take place than, you know, maybe in previous, you know, go back a few years where the deadline was a big, leading up to the deadline was a busy time. That's a lot of, you know, that's a rental market for, in a lot of ways. That's a, you know, that's a depth market in a lot of ways. It's just turned out, and I believe that, you know, I'm a firm believer that those summer months are the time that you put your team together. You know, you still are trying to help yourselves in season, but the bulk of your team building is done, you know, between now and the start of the season.
So knowing what you have for picks heading into this weekend, what's important for your group, your scouting group, your management group to ensure that you make the most of the 2018 draft?
Well, same thing. It's no different whether you have 15 picks or... five. It goes back to the work that you do, right? So our guys have done a good job. You know, since we've come in here, we've changed a little bit of our process. You know, once you get back, you know, obviously Todd Button and runs that area with Rob Sumner and Fred Parker assisting him. But, you know, for the most part, the deeper you get into a draft, you get beyond the first two and a half rounds, your area scouts are critical. Those are the, you know, we have our guys, we stress to our guys the need to know their area and be the experts of their area. So, you know, there's going to be players that come out of the fourth, fifth, and sixth round that are real good NHL players out of this draft. It's just history has shown that. We've got to make sure that we have done our work, and you know, I'm trying to see if we can't give the guys a few more swings at the plate and manufacture some stuff. If not, we every pick, excuse me, every pick, like every year, is important. So we've got few in the hopper this year, but they're no less important than any other year.
So do you go about building your list and coming up with the same as any other year, regardless of how many picks you may or may not have?
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. And we were talked about that earlier today. You can make a grave error if all of a sudden you're going in and saying, well, you know, we're short a pick here, or short a pick there. Things change right on the floor. So our mandate and the mandate to the guys was we are operating as you normally would. From how we scout in the winter and how we do our list and how we get the intelligence we get, and all of our processes are no different than any other year, and making sure that we're doing all the digging we would do. The one difference I would say is just right now when you're talking about, you know, if you know today you've got the 12th pick, you're focused in on a handful of guys, and you have a pretty good sense of, you know, two or three people that they're probably going to be right around that pick. You know, we've done our groupings and our ledges the way we normally would do them, and you know, I know there'll be some faces looking at the guy at the table there to put a few more picks on the board, so we'll try our best.
Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, joins us ahead of the draft in Dallas next week. Is there an unwritten rule, or are you allowed to still interview players before the draft, even though?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Will you do that?
Yep. Yeah. We've got some. We have been doing that between. You do a lot of work at the combine.
Yeah.
And then we do some of our own interviews. We'll do some more at when we get into Dallas. And really, the only thing that you're not permitted to do is you know, do any physical testing outside of the combine.
Okay.
But, you know, coming in and interviewing, and, you know, we put them through their paces every once in a few of the guys. So we've got some lined up once we get into Dallas as well.
Do you have the assets to do the things you need to do based on, I mean, we talked on and off, but at the end of the year, you do the review and you look and you make your plans. Do you have the assets, Brad, to affect the change you need to affect?
Yep, I think we do. And again, you need two to tango in this business. So as much as you want to accomplish this, you got to find a partner to, you know, do business with. So we've got a bunch of scenarios that we'd like to look at, and we have been, and we've been, there's been lots of dialogue. It's, you know, we was asked earlier today, it's a normal process right now. There's a lot of talking going on. There's not a lot of doing going on right now. I think usually that those things get going a little bit more as you get closer to the actual draft, and once you get into the city. But, you know, there's a couple of big dogs out there right now that I think people are waiting to see what manifests and transpires there, and then there's always a trickle down effect. So we've got some things we'd like to accomplish, and like I said, I do it every year. Whether that happens this weekend or 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, a month from now, we don't play till October, and it's our job to work every day between now and then to make our team better. Well, that's what we'll do.
Always appreciate the time. I know we'll see you down in Dallas.
Yep.
I'm fascinated to see what I'm going to be covering.
Yeah. It'll be It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
A sly smile came over his face. Take it for what it's worth. You're always so generous with your time. Thank you for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Robert.